When we were little kids, my folks used to pry us out of bed before dawn on summer weekends. They'd bundle us into the back of the Buick Estate wagon and drive us over the winding hazard that is California's Highway 17. I don't remember anything about the transition from bed to car, but I can imagine sitting in the back seat, watching a blur of trees go by. I can picture Santa's Village, a ramshackle theme park at the town of Scotts Valley, where the road started to straighten out. There was a dinosaur park on the opposite side of the road. A giant creature made out of concrete peered through the trees and across four lanes into the elves' workshop. I wonder if the elves thought they were hallucinating. We never stopped at either place, heading straight for the state park on the beach in Santa Cruz. Weather on the Pacific Coast is unpredictable at best in summertime. There's a strip of cold, wet fog that likes to sit just on the edge of Highway 1, across the street from the beach. You can cross the Coast Range and get all the way to the highway in a blaze of summer sunshine, only to freeze your behind off on the beach. We never knew if it would burn off or not when we headed out, but because it was so early when we left home, we'd always spend the first part of our beach days shivering on damp sand, wrapped in mist and blankets. I feel like I'm making it up as I tell this story, but my memory of childhood is patchy and everything feels like something I might have read in a book once, a long time ago, while I was traveling. Anyway, it seems to me that we'd pay our admission fee, we'd park the car, and then we'd trudge down to the sand. We'd be wrapped in hooded sweatshirts and towels, we'd be lugging ice chests and paper bags full of snacks. Once we'd staked a claim on the sand, we'd gather driftwood, and my dad would start a fire. Magically, pancakes would appear out of a cast iron skillet. I have no memory of boxes of pancake mix or squeezed bottles of log cabin maple syrup or even of the cast iron skillet, but I do have this flavor of browned cornmeal pancakes with maybe just a little bit of grit from the sand. I don't know how many times we did this trip. I don't know if we gave up and went home when the fog decided not to lift. I don't know if we stopped for ice cream when we got to where the weather was better as a consolation prize. I don't know if we slept off our sunburns in the car on the way home. I do know that I like a foggy beach nearly as much as I like a sunny beach. I also know that when people stopped putting me in the car to take me to the beach, I started taking myself, or recruiting others to take me. I got the Persian student who lived in the apartment opposite mine while I was in art school to take me. I'd borrow a car and go by myself with a book, a bottle of water, a snack. When I was super fit, I'd ride my bike out to the ocean just because I could, doing the steep climb over Highway 84 or Page Mill Road. Then I'd stuff myself on snacks at the San Gregorio General Store. For a while, I worked for a tiny startup, and on a particularly unproductive day when I confessed to the founder that work was just not happening today, we jumped in his car and drove to the beach to eat donuts on the sand. More recently, we took some European guests out to the Washington coast. We parked the car and walked out into a dense fog that obscured everything. We could not see where we were going. The car disappeared behind us in very little time. Every now and then, a person or a dog would appear out of nowhere. There was a calm surf sighing in the distance, but how far out was anyone's guess, as the sky and the sand and the water were all exactly the same color. It was what I imagined walking in a cloud would be like. We don't live exactly on the Pacific Ocean now. Puget Sound is a huge body of water connected to the Big Blue, but it's not quite the same thing. It is a grand compromise, however, and though it might not have a crashing surf, the sound does have other very fine qualities. There are the obvious tides, the sea life, the smell of seaweed and salt, the crunch of sand and seashells. The fact that I can see water from my couch, even if it is only a tiny reflective patch of blue-gray, is a source of endless delight to me. I can see more water if I walk out onto the front steps, and even more if I walk one block south and one block west. The street dead ends, so cars can't get through, but there's a footpath. And some kind people, maybe the people who live in the house at this little spur of road, have placed a bench there. It's a perfect spot to look out across the grand expanse of the Sound, to watch the ferries and the freighters and the weather coming and going, and to see the water that connects all the way out to the Pacific. People are surprised when I tell them that I'm a California girl, but I am, through and through. I've never run on the sand with a surfboard under my arm, never danced on the beach like Frankie and Annette. But when I breathe deep of the Pacific, I am a summer night when I've driven to the ocean just for the smell. I'm a car winding over the Coast Range and turning south. The surf is smashing on the shore just to my right. I'm a mere hour on the sand, the trip made just for the feeling of sun through the marine layer. I'm sandy feet stuffed into wet sneakers so I can cross the hot asphalt without burning my feet. I'm a pancake just this side of burnt, seasoned with a tiny bit of salty sand. I can smell the edge of the Pacific from my front steps. I can imagine the water opening up and stretching west.
Take off your shoes, let down your hair, turn on the music and we'll get somewhere. Dance, dance, dance till your toes get tan. We're gonna have us a ball on the beach, slashing sand. Hug me a heap, sway me a lot, we got a lot of ocean if it gets too hot. Ooh, baby, take my hand. We'll have some real rock and fun in the sun. Slice and sand.